science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello, and welcome back to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the hard thinking. My name is Darren Smithson, and I'm your host for another discussion that is designed to stimulate, provoke a lot of thinking, and actually set you on a quest to find out more questions for you to ask as we consider the ethical implications of emerging technologies. So last 2 weeks, we've talked about AI, robots and automation and how it impacts upon society, individuals, learning, business and so on. This week, we're going to look at genetic engineering, artificial intelligence again and biotechnology, but from the viewpoint of the ethical implications of these technologies. What we need to understand is that these advancements do come with complex ethical dilemmas. As they continue to advance, it's crucial to examine the ethical considerations that arise from these technologies. And we're going to explore, therefore, the impact of these technologies on our society and whether or not, ethically, they should be allowed to stand. As we examine these specific technologies, we'll establish a foundation for understanding ethics in the context of science and technology, exploring different ethical frameworks and different principles that guide decision making in these fields. Because understanding those frameworks will help us navigate this complex ethical landscape that does surround emerging technologies. These are all things that go on all the time, and most of us are oblivious to them. And we need to start thinking about how this is developed. One of the main developments that I want to see put in place is how we as individuals and as a community and as a society actually do become aware of all these emerging technologies and start to demand the frameworks that need to be put in place to manage the scientists and the business leaders and the governments that are just implementing these technologies without really themselves considering ethical implications. Let's start with genetic engineering. Now, it's true, this technology does have the potential to eradicate disease. It can improve agricultural yield. It can even extend the human lifespan. But it does raise serious ethical questions. Who gets, for example, to decide what traits are desirable? What are the potential risks of altering the human genome? And what happens if these technologies are used for nefarious purposes? Genetic engineering holds immense potential, it has to be said, for advancements in medicine, agriculture and beyond. As exciting as genetic engineering is as a field to look at and think about and the advances that it could possibly make in medicine in particular, we are at the end of the day talking about altering the genetic building blocks of life. That is huge. Think about that statement. We are altering the building blocks of life. The potential consequences, therefore, for individuals and ecosystems are huge. Gene editing, for example, particularly through techniques like CRISPR, has opened up whole new vistas and possibilities in healthcare and agriculture. But we need to look at the whole ethical implication of this. So, for example, one of the primary concerns is the potential for designer babies. If we can edit genes to eliminate diseases, could we also edit genes to select desirable traits like intelligence or physical appearance? And this is where it gets tricky, because who then decides what is desirable? What is a trait that we should have in our babies? There's also the issue of consent. In the case of germline gene editing, where changes are made to the DNA of eggs, sperm or embryos, these changes can be passed on to future generations. But those future generations can't give their consent to those changes. Going back to agriculture, looking at GMOs, genetically modified organisms. These organisms have been modified to possess certain traits like resistance to pests or increased nutritional value. And while they do have the potential to improve food security and agricultural sustainability, again, the potential ethical challenge that they present is huge. One concern, for example, is the impact on biodiversity. If GMOs crossbreed with wild relatives, it could lead to a loss of genetic diversity. There's also the risk of gene flow, where GMOs could potentially outcompete natural species. This would disrupt ecosystems. Remember, if we lose the bee, we lose everything. And if we are introducing genetically modified superior taste or superior yield for humans, that at the cost of displacing natural habitats and natural foodstuffs for bees, then we are in serious trouble. Another ethical consideration is the issue of ownership and control. Often, GMOs are patented by large corporations, and this raises questions about who has access to these technologies and who benefits from them. At the end of the day, if even the human genome can be patented by a corporation so that you have to pay the corporation for a trademark to use the genetic building block of human DNA, then it is just a mad world at the moment. It just gives control to the few over something that we should all have a say in. There's also the question of long-term effects. Both gene editing and GMOs have the potential to bring about significant changes in individuals and ecosystems, but these technologies are relatively new, and we don't yet understand the long-term consequences. So as we navigate the ethical landscape of gene editing and GMOs, it's crucial that we foster an open dialogue, promote transparency, and consider the long-term impacts of these technologies. By doing so, we can harness the potential of these technologies while also addressing the ethical challenges that they present. And this is why I was coming in with the whole idea of groups of individuals and communities and societies working to help demand a set of strategies and a framework of management for these technologies. So scientists can't just go off willy-nilly and say, well, it was there, so I did it. And also corporations can't do things like patent your genetic code, which is something that is happening. We need to stop it. We cannot have corporations controlling our very genetic being. It's just corporation and greed gone mad, and we need to actually work to stop this kind of development from happening. That leads directly into the next field, which is biotechnology. Now, biotechnology encompasses a wide range of technologies, ranging from gene therapy, as we mentioned, to tissue engineering. And these advancements do offer tremendous promise for improving human health and quality of life. But they also, at the same time, again, raise those ethical questions about consent, access, and the potential for unintended consequences. There's no denying that biotechnology is an exciting field. It has the potential to create new forms of life, for goodness sake. It can produce cleaner energy. It can revolutionize medicine. But the questions, the ethical questions it raises, are huge. What are the implications, for example, of creating that new life form? How do we balance the benefit of biotechnology with potential impact on environments? And who gets to access these potentially life-saving technologies anyway? If corporations are patenting these treatments, for example, it's going to be, once again, the rich can benefit from it, and they can take advantage of extended life and reduced disease and so on and so on and so on, while the rest of us can only look up and dream about how we can afford these kind of treatments. These are complex questions with no easy answers, but they're questions we must grapple with as a society, because the decisions we make today will, quite simply put, shape the future of our world. It's important, therefore, that we learn as much as we can as individuals about these technologies. We learn about our local development agencies. There are people out there and factories out there, biotech labs out there, some of which are in places that you wouldn't believe, but they are there. Find out where your local one is and then talk to your local councillor or your local MP. Try to find out a little bit more. What are they developing? I'm not saying we should stop it. I'm not saying we should completely disrupt the progress that these firms are making. But we have to have a proper framework of management in place. And right now, I don't think we have that. I think we do have very much a corporate-driven, pharmaceutical-led kind of solution pursuit, which is sometimes to create a new illness so that they can sell a new medicine. Does that make sense? We've gone down this route so many times before. We've not really looked at the implications of how this affects us, our health in particular, and what it is and what it means to be human and alive in this modern world. All these implications are there. We need to consider them, but to consider them, we need to learn about the technology itself to start with. And let's return to the idea of artificial intelligence. We've discussed artificial intelligence and automation in previous episodes of ThinkWorks, but I want to unpack it a little bit further in this particular edition. Now, AI does have the power to revolutionize various aspects of our lives, but it also presents serious ethical challenges. So, for example, algorithmic bias, privacy concerns, potential impact of AI on employment. And there's a responsibility, I think, therefore, for developers and policymakers to ensure that there is ethical AI development and, crucially, deployment. Questions to consider include, how do we ensure that AI systems are fair and unbiased? How do we protect privacy in an age of AI surveillance? And what happens to jobs as AI becomes more prevalent? We've all heard the horror stories of AI face recognition that's being used in police and law enforcement operations, where it's been found that the AI was unable to really relate to ethnic appearances. So the colour of skin, the shape of faces and eyes in particular, was something that the AI could not distinguish when it was confronted with a particular scenario. It's just frightening that we have this unconscious bias. Now, the fact is that even with all the publicity and the scandals that this created, we're not learning. We're not actually developing these processes with every consideration looked at. And what about artificial consciousness? We've talked about artificial intelligence, but what about artificial consciousness? This is the idea that machines could one day indeed possess that self-awareness. They could have emotions. They could talk about subjective experiences, much like humans do. And this is distinct from artificial intelligence, which refers to machines that can perform tasks that normally require human intelligence, such as understanding natural language or recognizing patterns. The concept of artificial consciousness raises a real hornet's nest of ethical questions. If a machine can experience emotions, for example, does it have rights? If it can feel pain, is it ethical to turn it off? If it is self-aware, if it knows who it is, what it is it right to turn it off? I think, therefore I am, is a precept that humans use to say that we are conscious. If a machine actually truly has that understanding, could we not say that that has consciousness? And what would we do when presented with such a thing? These are questions that philosophers have been grappling with for years. For instance, philosopher John Searle proposed a Chinese room thought experiment to argue that machines can never truly understand or have consciousness. They can only simulate it. But on the other hand, philosopher Daniel Dennett argues that if machine behaves as if it has consciousness, then it does, in fact, have consciousness. The truth is, as we develop increasingly sophisticated AI, these philosophical debates take on real-world significance. If AI develops artificial consciousness, will need to grapple with questions of rights, responsibilities, and ethics, and what, therefore, should humanity consider if this is indeed a scenario that comes true. First, we need to have a clear understanding of what we mean by consciousness. Now, this is a complex and multifaceted concept, and we need to be clear about what we're talking about when we discuss artificial consciousness. Second, we need to consider the potential impacts on society. How would artificial consciousness change our relationships with machines? How would it affect our legal and ethical frameworks? There are certain states in the US, for example, that allow you to marry inanimate objects already. So just imagine what we would have if we had an android, that also could think, feel, and exhibit traits of consciousness. Where would we go with that in terms of our laws? It would be frightening to actually consider those implications, but we are going to have to do that. Third, and leading directly into that, is we need to think about control. If a machine has consciousness, can it be controlled? And if it can't, what are the potential risks? Again, we have to consider all this. It sounds like science fiction. It's just round the corner. And finally, we need to consider the implications for human identity itself. If machines can have consciousness, what does that mean for what it means to be human? Complex, challenging questions, I'm sure you'll agree, and there are no easy answers. But as we continue to push the boundaries of AI, their questions we'll need to confront going forward. So how does humanity adapt? How do we navigate these ethical dilemmas? Well, first, we need to foster open and inclusive dialogue. These are societal decisions, and everyone should have a voice in the conversation, not just the corporations that are driving forward all these developments in pursuit of the almighty dollar. It has to be a proper conversation about what these new technologies are going to present to us as an individual, as a community, as a society, as a nation, and as a world. I think sometimes corporations forget about that. Secondly, we need to promote transparency. The more we understand about these technologies, the better equipped we'll be to make informed decisions. Unfortunately, our education system has become really about designing us to be the perfect call center person. I'm sorry, that's the reality of it. And we have to stop that from happening. Governments are dumbing down the education system to make us learn things by rote. Again, they're turning us into machines, whereas artificial intelligence is developing at such a pace now, as an example, they are outstripping us in terms of being able to do the thinking that humans need to learn to do. So it's important that these learning strategies are put in place to enable individuals and groups of concern to come together to properly discuss, to properly debate with leaders in business, with leaders in science, with leaders in government, to actually define where we go with these technologies and how they're going to be utilized. And finally, we need to think long term. The decisions we make today will have implications for generations to come. So we need to consider not just the immediate benefits of these technologies, but also their long-term impacts. Good or bad, we need to consider all the implications and have a framework to manage that set of implications going forward. Therefore, as we navigate the ethical implications of emerging technologies, it's clear that we're charting completely new territory. But by fostering dialogue, promoting transparency, and thinking long term, we can ensure that we're making decisions that are in the best interest of all and not just shareholders. And this is the danger that we have to confront here, folks. I am not against capitalism. I am not against businesses making money. I am against the whole idea that in pursuit of that money, that everything else has to be trashed to one side. In many respects, this is where ThinkWorks as a concept has come from. It's not just about a podcast. It's not just about the blog, and it's not just about the forum that I'm setting up. It's about helping you guys create your own groups of discussion where you can have a debate with other like-minded individuals in your local community, and then you can take that to your local MP to get them on board with the idea that really we all need to have a voice in what is happening in these emerging technologies and how they are being developed and how, crucially, they are being implemented. I would love to have an invite to come and help someone set up a group like this where you meet on a regular basis to discuss not only the new developments, but also the challenges and the ethical questions that such developments raise. That wraps up this week's discussion and our exploration of the ethical implications of emerging technologies in particular. We hope this episode has indeed sparked some thoughtful reflection on the challenges that arise with scientific advancements, and in particular, the challenges of an ethical consideration. Join us next time as we delve into another topic of exciting discussion. I hope I elucidate that that will be the case. Come and join me anyway. And until then, let's continue to navigate the intersection of science, technology, and ethics with a mindful and conscious approach. Thanks for joining me on this episode of ThinkWorks, the place where all the hard thinking is done. I hope you found it insightful and thought-provoking. Until next week, keep thinking, keep working, and above all else, keep growing. Thank you. This is your host, signing off.
Like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.